It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this sixth day of November 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky's any real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza. That is The Horn chat room, the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight. Gotcha. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Damn it. 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, please like and subscribe. Mash that like button. Make sure you're subscribed on a couple of platforms, because we have had cases recently where it'll go up on one but not on another. I don't know how that even works. But that way you'll make sure and know when the podcasts do go up. If you're listening live, feel free to pop by the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, where you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That's Irish Dave and Squeaky and Theo, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist, Chief Mathematician, and Bud Trimmer Pro Tempora, Roger in Oregon. Hi, y'all. I'm Robin. It is More in Monday on the Horn. And you got to know that any broadcast that begins with the phrase "Letitia James seen visibly cackling at Trump insult from witness stand," yeah, it's gonna be a day. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so thanks go out to our sixth, fifth, and fourth day of the month PayPal subscribers and people jumping in a la carte. So thank you indeed. Working backwards from today. What in the world? Did you hear that? I don't know what that was. But working backwards, thank you. To Charlene in Rogues Island, and thank you to Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. And thank you to John and Khalil. Thank you to Michael, formerly of Madison, now Chicago. Thank you to Don in West Tennessee. Thank you to David in Oregon. Thank you to Kenda in Missouri. Thank you, Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thank you, Gene, across the pond. And that's pretty much catches us up for the weekend. So where we stand on funding, $1,200. Trying to catch up with the deficit from last month. We finished in a deep, deep hole. And hopefully going from taking it down some, you know, some. And frankly, let's see, it's the power bill, the phone bill, the water bill, and a shockingly expensive wheel for the car. I'm now airing the tire up every morning because apparently the crack in the wheel is getting worse. But that's where we are. So $1,200, and I got a, you know, got a bunch of bills to pay. I am told with a dispatch from Tennistan that little Miss Luna is happy and healthy and settling in. And she was so cute the first couple of days. She just kind of laid there and like, But her mama told me that she is now a howler. It's not so much a cry. It's, well, Ferg told me it's downright barbaric. And that's fine. That's fine. She's gonna be a strong girl and brook no bullshit. So, yeah. Getting us started, I got a note early this morning from Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, Roxanne. So I get up at 2:30 a.m. and start work at 4 a.m. I hate listening to Morning Joe. Just like me and Tara and others of the community. I hate listening to Morning Joe. I work with an earpiece, very discreet, except for the occasional what the fuck or giggle. So I'm thinking of requesting a segment producer paycheck from Morning Joe, especially after today's segment on the youth boat. Didn't we talk about that on Friday? Yes, we did. And that was all done within the context of the big, splashy, not entirely trustworthy New York Times story about Joe Biden trailing in all the swing states except Wisconsin. And they were fit to be tied this morning on a filthy morning habit. Maybe we'll get to some of that. But like I said, there's just some, today was zany, and I don't know if he's listening or not, but I want to send out props to Todd down in South Carolina, Stan, because Todd nailed it. Nitwit Nero has been on the stand today in New York, and you know how Todd has said over the last couple of conversations, Robin, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. And you know how we've talked for months now about the fact that he can't go on a witness stand and not lose his shit. Well, he lost his shit today. When Nitwit Nero was asked today about his Trump building at 40 Wall Street, he answered his inquisitor, Deputy Attorney General Kevin Wallace.
I spent a lot of money on fixing the building up. She doesn't even know what 40 Wall Street is.
She being Letitia James. And at that point, according to reporters in the courtroom, of course, there are no cameras because, well, that's democracy, I guess. But a reporter said she was visibly cackling and briefly put her head down to compose herself. And then later she went on Twitter and said, she quote tweeted Hugo Lowell, Trump snipes at NYAG James, she doesn't know what a 40 Wall Street is. And she quote-tweeted that and said, don't tell. I can see it from my office window. You know, because her office is next door to 40 Wall Street. And he may be, just as Todd predicted, coming apart. I don't know how close he is to going full Captain Queeg, but it feels like he is. Flavio says, morning, Joe. I can't handle anybody bellowing in the morning just as I'm waking up. No need to yell, Joe. Well, but see, Flavio, that's how morning broadcasting works. You have to yell at them to get people wake up. You know, rise and shine, campers. You know, you've seen Groundhog Day. Come on. Yeah. But as Moran Monday goes, this one has potential, a lot of potential. And thanks so much to John Barron. John Barron just sent a Benjamin to help knock the deficit down, so that gets us down to $1,100. John Barron prefers to use the United States Postal Service. And I will report upon its receipt, Mr. Barron. John Barron. One of these days, somebody's going to get cute and send a money order. Sorry, Joe Scarborough, and we'll just say consulting fees on it. Oh, yeah. It's Monday. I'm feeling a little silly. It was a nice little weekend. I'm still... Basically, Annette and I are kind of catching up with our harem scarem trip from Wednesday into Friday. And, did some nice cooking over the weekend. I love making things that she enjoys. And I've been putting them out of the park lately, hitting home runs. And this weekend I did Indonesian peanut butter chicken from a recipe that was lodged in my brain from back in the CNN days. One of my producers taught me how to make it. And, oh, it was good. Just really, really good. So, winning. Flavio, no, the cats aren't too pissed that breakfast was late. they are. I don't know. They were a little bit miffed when we got back on Friday. And poor little Mr. Shadow was convinced that we were never coming home, and he's been. Oh, I think he's bonded. And we promised him we will never do that again. Because he had to stay with his Auntie Margaret and his cousin Theodora, who is also a golden retriever, and his cousin Winnie, who isn't. And the little cat whose name I can't pronounce. Ayla, I think it is. Ayla the kitty. Mm-hmm. But I mentioned Letitia James giggling, and thanks, Ralph, for that. You should. Letitia James is also needling Julius Geezer. She gave a rare press statement before the proceedings began today.
Only Joe Biden can make this decision. And also, let's go over to the courthouse really quick. Apologies, Lower Manhattan. This is New York's Attorney General. He's bringing this civil case against Donald Trump today. Listen.
Misrepresented and inflated the value of his assets. And before he takes the stand, I am certain that he will engage in name-calling and taunts and race-baiting and call this a witch hunt. But at the end of the day, the only thing that matters are the facts and the numbers. And numbers, my friends, don't lie. Thank you.
All right, facts and numbers. Numbers don't lie.
I think she just called him a liar. I got some audio coming in. It's from somewhere, and it's making me a little crazy. No, Ralph's always, no, Ayla. Ayla is Margie's kitty. You're hearing that weird music, aren't you? I hate autoplay audio. I just do. So he probably got wind of that. And that may have been part of his entire meltdown. That's apparently one of the news stories has some autoplay audio on it. I don't know. There. All better. Sorry, that's a new glitch. But he did. He lost his shit at her on the stand. What I wouldn't give. I agree, darling. It's not bad background music. Yeah, it's just background music. I don't like audio coming from places I don't understand. But he did. He went off. He did everything except saying that he caught everyone with the strawberries. It was bizarre. And like I said, what I wouldn't give to actually have video of this. Meanwhile, a reminder, the clock is still ticking on whether he says he wants cameras in the courtroom or no cameras in the courtroom for his trial in D.C. And so he was whining in court today at the judge who, we've talked about the fact that his lawyers don't appear to be very good because they can't, or maybe it's like I said a while back, he is unrepresentable, he is uncounselable. And so he was pissing and moaning and whining to Judge Ngoron. And he said, okay, well, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Nope, can't hear anything on our end. Maybe it's God talking to you in your ears. Mike Pence don't sound so crazy after all now, does he? No. Nobody say, Robin. No. Hey, oh, get a shave. First thing I'd tell that big bearded juvenile delinquent. You run the universe. Get a razor. But he said that the fraud case should be thrown out because his financial statements included a disclaimer. At which point, Judge Ngoron said, "If you want to learn about the disclaimer clause, read my opinion for the first time." And so he continued.
I think it's fraudulent, the decision. The fraud is on the court. This is unbelievable.
Molly Crane Newman of the New York Daily News said Trump's been screaming insults at A.G. James in the front row.
The fraud is her.
Nitwit Nero bellowed,
"He called me a fraud. He didn't know anything about me. You knew nothing about me. You believe this political hack back there."
Trying to goad the judge into committing some sort of reversible error. But he's dealing with a judge and with an attorney general who are orders of magnitude, like astronomical orders of magnitude, more intelligent than he. And I don't think they're going to play into his. I don't think they're going to play his game. At one point in time. Well, that's true. Matt in San Francisco says court footage. I'd be fine with audio only of his trials. Yeah, because spontaneous human combustion is at best an extreme rarity. So audio might be, yeah, it would be acceptable. And Judge Ngoron, because see, his pettifoggers, Nitwit Nero's pettifoggers, they have to behave in a performative fashion for an audience of one, their client. And frankly, no lawyer trying to do that can really be effective counsel. Effective counsel in a trial situation has to be mindful of the facts and the law and places where error may happen and object in a timely fashion, make compelling arguments. But if they're making arguments that they've been told to make by their client, chances are it's not going to play too well. And so, counsel for the parking garage, Alina Habana, was unable to control him, attacking the judge, attacking the deputy attorneys general. And eventually, Ngoron said, when a judge hauls out the word beseech, oh my, I beseech you to control him. If you can't, I will. I will excuse him and draw every negative inference. At which point, counsel for the parking garage, Alina Habana, said, the burden is on the AG to ask better questions. We're not here to hear what he has to say. We are here to listen to him answer questions. And then she got downright nasty with Judge Ngoron. Because she's auditioning to be the next Mrs. Trump. You know, the whole getting her hair done like melanoma and all of that. And she looked at Ngoron and said, yes, you are here to listen to what he has to say. At which point, Justice Ngoron lost his temper and said, sit down! At which point, Nitwit Nero leaned into the microphone and said, this is a very unfair trial. Oh. I give major props to Justice Ngoron for not taking the bait. And yeah, apparently they did catch what AG Letitia James said in the steps of the courthouse. Numbers don't lie. And so outside the courthouse, Alina Habana, counsel for the parking garage, and Nitwit Nero had a hissy.
All right, the president's team has stepped up to the microphone. They just walked outside of the courthouse. Let's dip in here and listen.
More honest, coming from the judge who has already predetermined that my client committed fraud before we even walked into this courtroom. I'm not here to hear what he has to say. Then why exactly am I being paid as an attorney, and why exactly are taxpayer dollars being used in this courtroom? The answer is very clear. Because Ms. James wants to stand right here like she did this morning and call my client a liar, call the company fraudulent, and make a name for herself. She said this morning that the numbers don't lie and they won't lie in this case. Well, Ms. James, I have a message for you. The numbers didn't lie when you ran for governor, and that's why you dropped out. And the numbers don't lie when President Trump runs for office in 2024. And those numbers are loud and clear. This country is falling apart. And if we don't stop corruption in courtrooms where attorneys are gagged, where attorneys are not allowed to say what they need to say to protect their clients' interests, it doesn't matter what your politics are. Everyone has a right in this country to get up and put a defense. I don't care who you are. You have a right to hire a lawyer who can put objections on the record. You have a right to hire a lawyer who can stand up and say something when they see something wrong. But I was told to sit down today. I was yelled at, and I've had a judge who is unhinged slamming a table. Let me be very clear. I don't tolerate that in my life. I'm not going to tolerate it here.
Yeah, but you did, honey. You tolerated it. Because he can recommend you for disciplinary action to the state bar. I wonder if you're even going to be able to be counsel for a parking garage when this is over. Mrs. Wannabe, fourth Mrs. Trump.
And you know what? You shouldn't either. Because not every American citizen gets a camera and a microphone. And what I'm seeing is such a demise of American judicial system and democracy. Miss James came out this morning and said that she knew Mr. Trump, and she always calls him Mr. Trump because it kills her that he was the president. But the 45th.
What do you want her to call him, Mademoiselle Trump? Habana, habana, habana. Well, I mean, doesn't it sound like it, Ralphs? Oh my God, Alina Habana Habana is running to be Mrs. Trump, number four. It kills her to call him president. No, he is a private citizen who has returned to private life. He is Mr. Trump. At best.
Fifth president of this country, one of the best presidents.
She could just refer to him as the defendant. That would also be accurate and applicable.
Presidents we've had has built a great company. It's worth a ton more than that statement of financial condition. And she doesn't know how to get out of it because her politics won't allow her. She calls him a bully. She says he's going to bring out racial slurs. He's going to say things today and taunt her. Well, Miss James, you taunted him before you came into office, before you saw one record, one statement of financial condition. You taunted him. You said his administration was too male and too pale. Those are her words. She said that she and Michael Cohen were going to be his biggest nightmare. Well, I have some news for you, Miss James. Michael Cohen folded, lied, and crumbled. Your star witness, along with all the DAs and corrupt AGs, need to be paying attention to what happens when you let us take the stand.
Us? God, we're rapidly approaching that territory that Condoleezza Rice goes great with kind of sleazy chicken. Remember back in the reign of error when she said, I told my husband, I mean the president. Remember that? Yeah, because I do. I know you do too. When you let us on the stand. Oh, go brush your hair.
You let my client speak the truth, and the judge can tell me to sit down, and he can try and shorten my client's testimony.
Did you sit down, Alina? Did you sit down, honey? I'm guessing you sat down when you were told to sit down.
But it is loud and clear. They've got nothing. They've got nothing but their politics.
Why does this sound like a bad mob movie? They got nothing. They got nothing on my client. Nothing whatsoever. That's literally a line from Robert De Niro playing Al Capone in The Untouchables. They got nothing.
She's got nothing but her Soros backing, which we discovered recently. And I am sick and tired of seeing it. Pay attention, America.
George Soros backing. They draw that George Soros like a gun.
Pay attention. Because when you're in court one of these days and you don't have a lawyer that has a microphone and you don't have a lawyer that can go on TV and you've got judges gagging them, what are you going to do? We need to fix.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you going to do? What you going to do when the judge comes for you? Bad boys, bad boys.
I don't know. I'm beginning to like the idea of Nitwit Nero sitting there at the table with a tennis ball in his mouth and some duct tape around it. No, I think, Roger, I think there's so much that she doesn't understand. Doesn't she realize he has been found liable for fraud and that this is the penalty phase? The disgorgement phase? This is just where they're tallying up the receipts. And this case is not going to be overturned on appeal. It may not even make it all the way to the highest court in New York, let alone find its way to our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties. Emilio says, one of the best presidents, and Habana Nagila, Habana Habana wasn't struck down by lightning? Well, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs is going to put a $25 challenge on the table for Trump wife number four. God, just the mental image is enough to put me off. Ooh, well, there went my post-show snack.
Fix this country. And we need to stop what is happening in this courtroom. President Trump is worth a lot more, and she wasn't ready for it. She doesn't understand it. And before she rushed to judgment, she should have thought about attacking somebody with over 50 years of real estate expertise who changed single-handedly the skyline of New York City. She picked the wrong person, and her politics will fail for it.
Is she going to cry? And by the way, in case you're wondering, and I am, I've seen a number of photographs of counsel for the parking garage. And I have never seen her in public with her face red to the point of being purple. I know she doesn't use any drugstore makeup or anything like that. I don't think they sell. I don't think Gucci or Dior or Chanel or any of them sell that shade of foundation. She was literally red in the face. So she is apparently as racist as Nitwit Nero is. Of course, this is all scripted for her to a certain extent. It is 5:30 Eastern Standard Time now. Can you imagine the way she's railing and raging now? Or if she is with her client, listening to him rage and rail? She was like, you and your politics will pay for this. Honey, you won't be able to get a job representing parking garages anymore when this is over. You're terrible. I mean, awful. And after Justice Engoron hands down like a $750 million judgment of disgorgement, Alina, can I call you Alina? He's going to come after you. And it won't matter how many highlights you have in your hair and how much you look like melanoma in profile. Ugh. What a mess. She makes it sound like he's being... She makes it sound like she's setting up a claim that he's being hounded to death. But I do love that phrase. Why exactly am I being paid as an attorney? Lady, we've been wondering that for a long damn time. Darlene in Connecticut. Nyah, 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 nyah. I'm rubber, you're glue, Tish. I'm prettier than you, Tish. I'll see you on the playground at recess for a fight, Tish. I'm white and you're black, Tish. My boyfriend's better than yours, better looking than yours, Tish. I have bigger boobies than yours, Tish. Tish and Judge and Goron sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Wait till you see the bathroom wall, Tish. Seriously, this is what Habana 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 is really doing when it comes right down to it. Yeah, it's seventh grade. MSNBC ran with his ranting outside the courtroom a little bit. And then they cut away. It was a moment.
Trump outside the court.
The fraudster in this case, they made references to assets that were very valuable, and they said they had no idea. They had no idea what the numbers were when they said $18 million for Mar-a-Lago, and it's 50 to 100 times that amount by any estimation. It's a terrible thing that's happened here. We're taking days and days and weeks, and it goes on, and then you look at the outside world and what's happened. But, of course, they're getting their wish because I don't have to be here for the most part, but I sort of do have to be here because I want to be here because it's a scam. And this is a case that should have never been brought, and it's a case that now should be dismissed. Everybody saw what happened today. Everybody saw what happened with their star witness who admitted that. I never told him what he originally said. I did. He admitted that he lied, and he has absolutely no credibility whatsoever. That's
okay. Donald Trump, again, sounding a lot like he normally does, calling this unfair and calling the judge all sorts of names. Let's go to NBC News correspondent Vaughn Hilliard, who is still with us. We also have MSNBC legal analyst and former U.S. Attorney Barbara McQuaid and NBC News legal analyst and former Manhattan Assistant District Attorney Catherine Christian. So Vaughn, this is a lot of what we've heard before from former President Trump.
Yes, it's a lot of what we heard him say, actually, inside of the courtroom under oath today and on the record. There was a question of whether the Donald Trump we see on the campaign stage and on social media was going to be the same Donald Trump inside of the courtroom. And we can now say, after hours of him being on the stand, that the answer to that was absolutely yes. Multiple times, Donald Trump's own lawyers were told by the judge to, quote, control their client and to get him to actually answer in a concise fashion. Instead, Donald Trump gave long-winded, quasi-tangential responses to the New York Attorney General's questions. But just in the last few minutes is when the prosecution essentially ended their questioning here a bit early of Donald Trump. And the final witness that they're going to call forward is Ivanka Trump here this Wednesday. At that point, the prosecution will all but rest their case. It will then be the defense team's turn. And on Monday is when the defense team for Donald Trump will call their first witness. Chris Keiss, the attorney for Donald Trump, one of
That's one thing. Various reporters, and this could be a little bit, my own personal hang-ups as to language and whatnot. Maybe Steve in New York will enlighten me further, but this is a civil case. This is not a criminal case. There is no prosecution. They keep calling it the prosecution. It isn't. And instead of referring to the prosecution, they should be referring to plaintiff's counsel or counsel for the plaintiff being the state of New York and the people thereof. So that, I mean, that's just, you know, a little thing.
The attorneys just said inside of the courtroom that they intend to have their side of witness testimony and questioning complete by December 15th. So we're still looking about a month more of this case. But this was significant after hours on the stand here today that Donald Trump took on directly Judge Engoron, suggesting right here upon leaving the courtroom that a mistrial should be called. Yeah. And also one of his attorneys suggesting that they may try to file a motion for that mistrial on the basis that the communications between the principal law clerk and the judge were not right. Of course, I'll let our legal team get into the specifics of that, but the judge...
Yeah, they can. Anybody with a computer and a printer, you don't even need the printer now. Everything's electronic. Can file motions. Yeah, they're complaining that the judge gets notes from his clerk, whose job is to provide him with information on the fly during the trial. She is not required to stand up and speak it into a microphone for the benefit of the courtroom. That's just stupid. But again, stupid appears to be par for the course with this gang. Oh, and by the way, serving as the Horn ad hoc Alina Habana Research Department, Ralphs did some digging around. Oh my God, somebody married Alina Habana. Oh, really? By the way, Emilio says, hey, Darlene, my niece is in seventh grade, and she has a lot more class than this. How dare you make that comparison? Harumph! Well, harumph right back at you, Emilio. Now, I still think she's auditioning. She's on hubby number two, Alina Habana. Apparently, at a young age, she, according to this report, enjoyed the fashion industry, but decided to attend law school for financial reasons. But here's the funny part. We joke about her being counsel for the parking garage. Well, there's a reason. Back in 2020, she married a dude named Greg Rubin. And by the way, Alina Habana is American-born to Iraqi immigrant parents. She is of Assyrian descent and must be one of those, like, Syrian Orthodox church people, whatever, because she always shows up with her little crucifix dangling around her throat. Yeah, Greg Rubin is the CEO of a huge New York City parking concern called Center Park. Yeah, he's a Harvard Business School graduate and is the owner of Auto Fair America, whatever that is. So that explains why Alina Habana is counsel for a parking garage. Interesting, though, because there are older photos of her. And, you know, the highlights aren't there. She looks much more like her heritage. So, you know, cosmetics are a thing. Supposedly, Alina Habana has a net worth over $5 million. So, I feel bad. Well, I think I feel bad. Yeah, for Greg Rubin about now. Everybody receiving, you know, because you couldn't turn on the TV without hearing somebody opining about what was going on behind closed doors in that courtroom. Kate Boldwan being one.
Found liable for fraud for overvaluing them.
It is a very risky tack to take here. He's not even saying the values we submitted were accurate. He's saying they were vastly understated, which is taking a very big swing. I also think the AG's office is setting up a little bit of a trap, perhaps, for Donald Trump, or a tension between two different defenses that we're hearing. Do you know or do you not know? Because on the one hand, he's saying, well, we're going to bring in the big bankers. They're the ones who do everything. On the other hand, he's saying, but I know what it's all worth. It's worth $1 billion, Mar-a-Lago, for example. So those two defenses are sort of in tension with one another.
I'm just looking more to this point, kind of what he said, his take on his description of his involvement in these financial statements. And it seems somewhat from the quotes coming out like a word salad on the stand. I'll read just some of them for you, Karen. I thought the apartment was high. We changed it. He said earlier, he said he thought that the values were off on his financial statements at times, both high and low. Ultimately, he said Mar-a-Lago was underestimated, as we've discussed, as we heard him say outside of court. And then he goes on, I thought 40 Wall Street was very underestimated for its tremendous value. The attorney, Kevin Wallace, one of the attorneys, appeared visibly surprised when Trump said he perceived both high and low valued assets on financial statements, pausing to review a transcript before asking Trump to elaborate.
So really what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, it is word salad. Because, like Todd said, he's not going to make it. Right now he's falling apart because this is his money. Or this is him not having any money that's at stake. And his entire sense of self-worth is tied to his financial well-being. On the other side of the political aisle, things are getting a little bit unpleasant for Representative Dean Phillips of Minnesota. According to NBC News, some of his former financial backers are saying, hey, we'd like our donations back, please. We didn't sign up for you to run against an incumbent Democratic president. Minnesota Democratic Farm Labor Party, that's the Minnesota Democratic Party, Chairman Ken Martin said, I haven't heard from one donor that thinks this is a good idea. I don't talk to all of his donors, but I talk to a lot of donors. Well, I mean, the party chairman would. He's polling, Dean Phillips is, at about 4% among potential Democratic primary voters. That's a tall number, I think. Out of the more than $10 million Phillips has raised since first running for Congress in 2018, a vast majority of contributions have come from Minnesota. During his successful 2022 re-election bid, Phillips raised around 82% of his more than $2 million in donations from in-state donors, with nearly $1.5 million coming from backers based in Minnesota, according to data from the nonpartisan organization Open Secrets. And some of those are not happy about this because it feels like a stab in the back from Dean Phillips. What a dumb, stupid thing for Dean Phillips to do. There is a bunch of stuff this evening. Lots of morons. We can take a little Trump break right now. Well, wait a minute. I got a note here from Arnold. Excuse me, Robin. Could you enlighten me as to why Trump supporters keep telling me he's winning this case? I need you to clarify what's even going on. Well, let's start with the basics. Namely, he was sued by the state of New York for defrauding the state of New York over tax valuations over the course of years. They went to court. The case was bifurcated as to legal liability versus the financial penalties. In the liability phase, the judge, sitting as trier of both fact and law, no jury, in the liability phase, he found and he ruled upon a motion for summary judgment made by the Attorney General's office, and he ruled in the AG and the state of New York's favor. Summary judgment is a legal mechanism whereby a judge, not a jury, makes a decision as to whether there are any issues of material fact or law that need to be decided. And in the summary judgment phase, Justice Engoron ruled for the state of New York that no, in fact, there is no material issue of fact or law to be decided except at that judgment stage of the process. And so consequently, the judge, having made that finding, ruled that Trump, the Trump Organization, and his two gits had committed fraud against the state of New York. Civil fraud. It's not criminal. It's civil. That means money. And so with that finding of fraud, it moved into the penalty phase. Arnold, he can't win this case. He has already lost this case. And I mean, I'm not yelling at you. I'm not being stentorian toward you. He's already lost it. Now it's a matter of determining the price. And so all this testimony about overvaluation, undervaluation, all the crap that he's barking about is trying to keep the numbers down somewhere around $250 million because $250 million is the floor of what he has defrauded the state of New York of, not the ceiling. It could, depending on how the testimony breaks, be measured in $1 billion or more dollars. And I guess, I mean, we're talking about maggots here, Arnold. Not the sharpest knives in the chandelier, you know? But they expect that some deus ex machina will swing out onto the stage and save him from everything. Well, his daddy hasn't been around for a while. And he's really dumb, Trump is, about trial strategies. You know, way, way, way back when he and his Klansman daddy were sued under the Fair Housing Act, all he had to do was sign a consent decree saying with the federal government saying, oh, okay, I won't do that anymore. And that would have been the end of it. But instead, he spent a small fortune to go to trial and lose. And had a judgment imposed upon him, telling him not to engage in racist policies in terms of who they rented apartments to. So to say that there's any way that he can win this, well, I mean, it stands to reason that his pettifoggers will file an appeal. And that is why Justice Engoron has kept such a tight leash on the proceedings so that it couldn't turn into a zoo in which there will be a whole bunch of reversible error. As I've said before, judges like to have, they don't like to be overturned. So Justice Engoron is guarding every step of the way, guarding his judgment. And it doesn't matter how much Alina Habana babbles and brays into the microphone. And there have been multiple moments. At one point in his testimony, one of the deputy AGs, according to Law 360 crime reporter Stuart Bishop, said, Trump brings up the 2021 valuation of the joint venture, but it says he wasn't really involved with it. Well, I think I actually screenshotted the dialogue. Let's see. Yeah, there it is. My dear friend Tara Devlin pointed this out, Tara of Tara Buster. My favorite line so far from the Trump trial today. New York attorney, did you get copies of statements in 2021? Trump.
I was so busy in the White House with China, Russia, and keeping the country.
AG, you were not the president in 2021. No, he wasn't. Not at all. He's a lost ball in high grass. Probably thinks he was. I mean, and there will be many of them. That's another one of those, I fooled them with the strawberries. They thought I was crazy. Arnold said, I'm not the only one who was lost. I'm sure in the Horn family community congregation, it's not your fault. I just don't understand the right-wing propaganda. They say he's winning and it's all a rigged sham. They're idiots. They're just idiots. And they are lost. They're lost in a fantasy world in which he is some sort of ubermensch, uberman, and this will miraculously be saved for him in the last instant. It's not going to happen. Like I said, this may not even get to the highest court in New York. It may die at the appellate level. The intermediate appellate level. Hey, when
my threshold was China, Russia, keeping our country safe, and Kevin Wallace, the Attorney General, said, and just to refresh your recollection, you were not president in 2021,
at which point Nitwit Nero had to say,
no, I wasn't.
And you know that burned something fierce. So Kat just responded to Ralph's Mrs. Trump number 4 challenge and added some. So we are now down to 925. Thank you so much, Kat. Thank you so very much indeed. That helps a lot. Because bunches of bills desperately needing paid. Flavio tells us, Alina Habana, Donald Trump's go-to lawyer on civil cases, got sued for being a racist and an insensitive boss. She just settled the matter out of court this month. Well, how about that? She quietly settled the case from a former employee who said that, yeah, lo and behold, Alina Habana blasts rap music in the office, and drops that word that has all the same letters as ginger, but ain't ginger, routinely in the office, and referred to the New York Attorney General as that black bitch. Honey, you're Assyrian. I mean, you're brown folks too. Don't tell her. So at the Daily Beast, they report that there's the typical settlement agreement that says ain't nobody going to say nothing to nobody about mm-mm. There's a non-disparagement agreement. She settled. Counsel for the parking garage did. As is so often the case, she settled when the tapes came in, because her employee had been rolling the recording devices had been rolling when she was doing her nastiness. In fact, she was so dead to rights that the Lena Havana never even filed an answer to the lawsuit. The plaintiff's counsel, Jacqueline L. Tillman, said, "We reached a resolution, but I cannot comment on the details." Curiously, the article notes, Alina Habana's law office is just a hop, skip, and a jump from Nitwit Nero's bed monster, tacky-ass golf hotel. And, of course, somewhere along the way, she may wind up being a witness in the other cases against Nitwit Nero. Well, that's true. It was 2021. He was the president for the first 19 and a half days. That's true, Randy Radar. And Ballmer Bob noted that, too. For the record, Trump was president for 19 and a half days in 2021. Yep. But he was busy running an insurrection then, y'all. I said we were going to take a little Trump break, and we are, because we've gotten past the first hour of the program. First hour of the Phil Robster is closed or complete. So let's take a little toddle over to Oklahoma, Stan. For those of you who participated in, say, high school athletics of some sort, you might recall being told by a coach somewhere along the way, whether it was football or volleyball or track or cross country or badminton, field hockey, what have you. At some point in time, some coach may have said to you, "You know, participating in sports builds character." Well, let's check in with Philip Coons, who is a coach, a high school coach, a high school football coach, and is also the principal of Ringling, Oklahoma High School. It's a little place. Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation investigators have been going back and forth over, around the high school, interviewing students and teachers, other employees. The maniac who is the superintendent of state superintendent of education in Oklahoma, Ryan Walters, and he's a real Lulu, said, "Phil Coons of Ringland Public Schools has officially been put on paid administrative leave." That's a free vacation. "While an ongoing criminal investigation about the allegations and concerns brought against him is completed, we will continue to monitor the investigation as we have since the beginning and support Superintendent Ken Southward's decision." It was the school district's decision, not the state's. Well, what's all this about? Even after one parent went before the school board on February 13 to talk about what was worrying her, the district kept him on. Because, yeah, well, you know, coaches just, you know, they got to get the attention of their players. And well, it turns out that Coach Principal Coons was fond of using racial slurs about players and referees. The NAACP of Oklahoma issued a statement saying, "Ringling School District has failed to ensure that students do not experience a hostile environment because of their race, sex, or gender identity. There's a group of current and former Ringling students who have firsthand experience with the harmful consequences of the hostile environment that will be detailed in the administrative complaint." And even before he got to Ringling High School, he already had troubles, Coach Coons did. Because as a coach at Tuttle and Clinton, there were credible allegations that Coach Coons exposed his genitals to his young players. Kind of hard to imagine Vince Lombardi doing that, you know? Or any of the greats, the great coaches. "Now, men, we got to go out there and kick some butt today. Look at this." Oh. Hey, and by the way, just for the record, Coach Coons is not gay. Coach Coons is not bi. Coach Coons is not gender curious or gender creative or gender diverse or gender fluid or trans. Coach Coons is also, to the best of anybody's knowledge, not a drag queen. He's just a heterosexual white Christian, what's the word? Groomer and a racist, according to the allegations. Well, howdy, though. I mean, you know that if Coach Coons had been any of those other things, the school district wouldn't have waited a second before they fired him. Yeah, but no. So, well, it's a different world. It's not like it was in the days of Vince Lombardi. Or Bear Bryant. Or Woody Hayes. Or Bo Schembechler. In the middle years of the third decade of the 21st century, sometimes a coach just has to wave his dingus at his players to get them all motivated and stuff. Yeah, okay, cowbell for Ralphs. And he wasn't Jim Jacket Off Jordan's coach. Ralph's. That's quality. Emilio said, Coach Coons is a racist? I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. Oh, what else? Now, Matt in San Francisco did. We know Matt was hate-watching Morning Joe this morning, our filthy morning habit. But they were practically having kittens with crocheted tails this morning over two things. Primarily, they were having a hissy over the polling data that came out over the weekend showing Nitwit Nero leading Joe Biden in Michigan, Arizona, Nevada. Like five states with the exception of Wisconsin. And that's what brought on the talk about the youth vote. Oh, let's see here. They were particularly aggrieved by the video of Chris Christie being booed by a bunch of maggots. Yeah, Pennsylvania was one of those states. Thanks. Yeah, Lou, thank you for reminding me. But it turns out that apparently the New York Times massaged the numbers to make them look even scarier. But there was no getting Joe down out of the trees this morning. Bless his heart, he still appears to have the capacity to be shocked by how ugly Nitwit Nero can be, and his, gross groupies. That's Chris Christie walking out on stage.
Yeah.
In Kissimmee, Florida,
well,
over the weekend.
It feels like home. Thank you all very much. What a shock. You're for Trump. I'm going to fall over dead. Now look, every one of those boos, every one of those catcalls, every one of those yells will not keep it. Yes, sure. Will not solve one problem we face in this country. Will not stop, and will not make this country better. Your anger against the truth is reprehensible.
Well, there you go.
Preach it, brother.
Presidential candidate Chris Christie over the weekend responding to the boos and jeers from pro-Trump crowd at the GOP Freedom Summit.
The Freedom Summit. They call it the Freedom Summit. You've got a guy at the Freedom Summit. You got a guy that they're praising in Donald Trump that has talked about terminating the Constitution. A guy who is saying he's going to arrest people just because he wants to arrest them. Said he's going to arrest General Mark Milley.
He loves the J6 choir.
Says he's going to arrest Ty Cobb, his former attorney, just because. The Freedom Summit, those people are jokes. Every one of them that booed are jokes. And he goes out, you're right. He goes out and he has the people who pummeled police officers with American flags that he praises. That he calls hostage. How sick? How sick do you have to be to actually go to an event and boo somebody for criticizing Donald Trump at the, quote, Freedom Summit? Mm-hmm. How sick do you have to be to praise a man who supports rioters who beat the hell out of cops and led to the death of four police officers, if you ask their families, led to the death of four police officers, and yet they say they support freedom. No, it's just the opposite. They support a tyrant, mm-hmm. a guy who's promised he wants to suspend the Constitution, and a guy who has said, I'm going to just start arresting people after I'm elected president of the United States.
Also found Way liable of being a massive fraudster, and that's what will go next.
Well, and a judge also, judge saying he's a rapist. But I guess that freedom to rape, is
Paid
that what they support?
Porn star.
Do you like that? I mean, seriously, how low can you go?
So Donald Trump is scheduled to take
Pretty
the stand
damn low.
Today in his $250 million New York City civil fraud trial. The former president will have to defend his actions as head of the Trump Organization and deny allegations he ordered his subordinates to falsify financial records and inflate his wealth. The New York Times reports Trump is deeply, personally enraged by this trial and by the fact that his children have had to testify. Several people who have spoken with him
said, and 50s, I think.
And he may not be able to restrain himself on the stand.
We can't restrain himself.
He reportedly held
anywhere.
Practice sessions over the weekend to prepare for today's testimony because he's so upset.
I'm so angry.
Joining us now.
Well, yeah, well, they were right. He could not constrain himself on the stand. He ain't going to make it. And eventually he is going to melt down on live television, probably in Georgia, maybe in D.C. Of course, by then he may have the plaid blanket and the wheelchair and the oatmeal dribble. I don't know. So, we're down to 9:25 to go, trying to get caught up with caught up with our fundraising deficit from October. Oh, my God. Matt. Mika and Joe. Matt in San Francisco says, I got money that within 6 months, Mika will start referring to 45 as the lying, no good, stupid motherfucker. Oh, I want to... What do you want to bet she already is, Matt? Stephen New York asks, how sick do you have to be? Is that a rhetorical question? I don't think it's quantifiable under any set of circumstances. Let's run over to the phones and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
You jokester, you.
Why, no good, well, motherfucker.
See, Jehoshaphat has already broken the meniscus. You know, he's broken the meniscus for it because, he's been dropping some bombs.
Yes,
you know.
He has been.
How are you?
I'm okay. It was a nice weekend. Quiet. I was really proud of that. I was really proud of the Indonesian peanut butter chicken that I made. It was really tasty.
Oh, yeah. That, yeah.
Because it had, like, you know,
forget.
It had like, you know, it had ginger and lemongrass and garlic and chicken broth.
You did it right.
Coconut milk and peanut butter and. So yummy.
Okay. You had that with rice?
Lord, yes.
Damn. Jasmine rice, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, naturally. And I actually thought of you because anytime I make a chicken dish like that, I cruise right past the chicken breast, all of that, and go straight for those boneless, skinless thighs.
Oh. Aren't they great?
They're tender, they're juicy, they're flavorful.
They're like the better breast.
Yes.
Because they got a little fat content.
Mm-hmm. And it just simmered and it blended in with the sauce once the sauce was thickened and just heaven, you know, and you know, cut some of the, you got to put a little sugar in and then you cut a little bit of sugar with a little bit of rice wine vinegar and you know, boom.
You know, damn, I just ate. You made me hungry again. Ugh. Yeah, that sounds good. I ain't lying. And you know. It's nice to acquire what you need to make dishes like that. You have to get things little by little, and then, you know, you have everything you need, except for the fresh ingredients, you know, rice, wine, vinegar.
Yeah, some finely chopped scallions just kind of sprinkled over the top.
Right.
For color.
And for color. And, you know, that's something, I'm glad you brought that up, and as our wonderful late Scott would say, this is not why I called. But, you know, onions are so, and scallions are easy to grow. And just cut the tops off when they're growing, and it's amazing. On top of your soup, eggs, and soup, even if you live in an apartment, you can grow that. You know, I say the seeds, you know. I've got plants that I've generational stuff from 30 years ago. I just keep harvesting seeds. So Robin, check this out. Have you heard? I had tuned out of the news for a few days, and I missed today. I really did not know. Like I read in the paper that I couldn't believe that the mentally ill fascist was actually going to be on a stand. And, but I was out and about, I wasn't able to listen or anything. And then, I heard on NPR, they were talking about him on public radio. And then you started talking about him. I was like, uh-oh, it happened faster than I thought it was going to happen. He's definitely not going to make it. He can't make it. He will not be able to get through this. He will not.
I mean, doesn't what happened today qualify as not as already not getting through this?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't even know all that happened yet, but what it sounds like is that he's in.
He was sniping into the microphone. He was. He basically told off the judge.
Mm.
I mean, that would have gotten if that was Todd on the stand doing that. Mm. You'd be in Rikers Island right now.
Yeah. That's I mean, maybe that's a good thing. Because I really honestly later on tonight I'm gonna recap because I've just been doing yard work all day and out. I have to see this or hear it.
I mean all you can do is read about it because there's no video in that courtroom.
There's no video.
No audio.
Someone showed a clip on MSNBC, but maybe it wasn't from today.
No, that's when he walks out of the courtroom and starts running his yap. But he was running it in the courtroom, Todd.
You can't do that. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
you can't do that. Like, you can't. Like, that's contempt. Like, he's done. You can't do that. This is what I was saying. You have to sit there and listen to your accusers, your former confidants, telling you, and you have to sit there and be stonewalled, stone-faced, and don't say anything.
If he would do that, the number would be smaller. You know, the ultimate punishment judgment number would be smaller if he sat there quiet, contrite, hands folded on the table in front of it. But Todd, he can't.
Wait a minute. Did he get another judgment today?
Well, no, that's where this is all heading. You know, the bottom number is $250 million he's going to owe.
Oh, that judgment. Yeah, I mean for the contempt. Okay.
Yeah, he's already out $15,000 for the contempt, for the two sanctions for violating the gag order. But the thing is, the judge, you know, rightly said, you know, you can say anything you want to about me. And so he is. And he's saying it about Letitia James, too, because he's desperate for a target. And what he really wants to have happen is to have one of his freaks, you know, do violence.
Yeah.
You know, will no one rid me of this meddlesome judge?
I do not disagree with you. And it appears that maybe his counsel is not doing him a service.
Well, he's going to sue them after the judgment comes down. Because see, like I explained with when Arnold wrote, whether or not he committed fraud has already been established, and the answer is he did. He and the Trump Organization and his two filthy gits committed fraud, and so did Iwanka. But Iwanka dodged, she dipped out as a result of the statute of limitations. And so she's going to testify on the 8th. She doesn't want to, but she's gonna. I'm a mama, and I have school age children who are in school, and I can't line up a babysitter. And I live in Florida, but she runs businesses in New York, so she is perfectly well within the reach of the subpoena power of the court.
Yeah, because her name is on those documents, like when you sign up for an LLC and all that. Her name is,
and that may be one of the saving graces of all of this, because when this is over, it's been the judgment has been stayed for the time being, but when this is over, neither he nor his filthy gits are going to be able to legally do business in the state of New York anymore.
Good.
He can still run his tacky, if he still has it, he can run his tacky ass golf motels in Florida if he still has them. But that's the other thing. Like I said, the $250 million is the floor. The saving grace may be Iwanka. And they'll try to fraud some more and put everything in her name. I don't know. But that $250 million, that's the floor. And it could go up to, it could go to 10 digits. It could be $1 billion or more. And then he's going to have to say, I ain't got it.
Right.
Which is going to be a terrible blow. Because remember, the maggots... You know, so many of the maggots, Todd, are out there thinking, well, they're what's that old saying? They are temporarily embarrassed millionaires, and they're going to be rich like him, too, someday?
Right. Right.
And so, you know, they're believing this the way that people, you know, you have to believe in Tinkerbell and clap, or Tinkerbell dies. So they're, you know, they're there.
That's so sad. Honestly, God.
But when he says, I ain't got it, his shit's going to be put in receivership. And it will literally be auctioned on the courthouse steps.
Fire sale.
Yeah. And part of the reason he's so upset, he's caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, because on the one hand, he wants his properties to be much more highly valued, because that would mean that, you know, maybe he could sell off the hotel on Boardwalk and still keep his monopoly over on Kentucky, Tennessee, and Pennsylvania Avenue, or and Indiana Avenues. But with them being of low value, that means it may take all of it to make up the amount of the disgorgement.
Well, see, you don't hear anybody, you don't hear folks talking about what you just said. And that is part of the crux of this particular portion of these prosecutions.
He's between two pincers of his own making, because the other part of it is if MAGA Loco is worth $1 billion, then he's got a hell of a check to write to the assessor of Palm Beach County.
Right. You can't have it both ways. You can't inflate and deflate according to your convenience. And so what they're going to do is assess all those assets at what they're really at. And, you know, this branding thing, I mean, any sane person, his brand isn't worth as much now. It's not. It never was. I mean, it was a bunch of cheap shit anyway. His brand was tacky, fake, gold, like electroplate gold, you know, like in the 70s, a disco chain, gold, electroplated gold chain.
Yeah. My cheap earrings.
it's not funny.
They were sold as gold, but the electroplating wore off, and you can see the copper underneath now.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do.
But you know what? They served a purpose. You know, you wore them out. You didn't get any cologne on it because that would make it turn funny colors. I don't even know what to say when I hear this, the rest of these reports. Holy cow. Yeah, I hope he makes it where he can be on camera. I hope he makes it to Georgia, because now why do you think the beatnik prosecutor doesn't want cameras in the courtroom?
Wait, who are you talking about?
Jack Smith.
Oh, Beatnik. Yeah, okay. I could see him with a beret and a set of bongos. Okay, you went there.
He spent time in Amsterdam. He didn't want to leave from over there. He did not want to leave. I'm not going to give away his secrets, but I don't blame him.
Has he said he doesn't want candidates? Or doesn't want cameras?
Maybe I read it wrong. It seems like I saw something that said he didn't want cameras in the courtroom. But I can't imagine why. I don't know. Maybe I'm misreading that. I'm getting older, so I make mistakes. But you know, there were a couple of questions that if you have time, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. The new
pink.
The new
My favorite color is
house.
Pink. No, I'm sorry.
Your favorite? Oh, let's start there. No, how facile. No, but
if I could be a twee, the twee that I would be a bristlecone pine.
But you know what? It's fun, and I'm going off on a tangent because you know I'm tangent man.
That you are.
I played a game earlier today with a friend, and it's like just a series of cards, but there are these questions, and they help you break the ice. It's like, you know, they make you think. And so it's just something out there that anybody can make up, but, you know, conversation is always good. So somehow along the way, somewhere, there was some report that, I know exactly, Orenstein. There was an old reporter. His name, last name is Orenstein. Now it comes back to me. Now, he said that the speaker didn't just hit. Apparently, the way the speaker disclosed his assets, he doesn't have anything. No bank account, no nothing.
I didn't see that. Not surprising.
Oh. No. Bob Ornstein. All right. So he's an old head. He's an old head reporter. Like, I mean, way back to like Huntley and Brinkley and shit. You know, probably he was one of those, one of their mentees. Yeah, and that, but see, that would fit into this paradigm. I'm convinced that there's some foreign money that has corrupted our lawmakers. Because between Tuberville and Johnson, these folks are working against our country.
Yeah. And he is, Mullah Mike, and thanks for giving us some relief from Nitwit Nero here. He just gets creepier and creepier. That whole business of, you know, people want to know what my worldview is. I say open the Bible.
What the hell is that supposed to? See, that pisses
That's
me
where
off.
My worldview is, what the Bible says. Which tells me that even though he's a preacher, he's either lying or he's never read the damn thing. I suspect it's the former. He's a liar because he is, after all, a Southern Baptist.
He's
because you cannot read that filthy book and not be just abjectly horrified. I mean, you know, the story of the two daughters who decide that, lo, we will never find a husband in these dismal lands. Let's get daddy liquored up and fuck him. Box
you saw
daughters.
A lot of that in there, didn't you?
Oh, the book's filthy. It is. It's pornographic. No child should be reading that shit. It's like the one verse I had from a little while back. There it is. Numbers 31:17-18. Now therefore, kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. But all the women children that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves. And rape him at the number six dance.
That's crazy. See.
But that's that. No, Mullah Mike says that's his worldview.
See, he set himself up. Now anybody can come up to him and say, so you said, just read the Bible. This is what you believe?
Speaker? Yeah, and in fact, there is a clip from the West Wing from way, way, way back where the president is dealing with a thinly veiled stand-in for, oh, God, who was that horrid advice creature? That was on AM radio in the 90s and the early on. Now go out and take on the day. Remember her? And she gave all these biblical talking points. There's a scene, and
not Phyllis Schlafly.
No. She billed herself as Dr. Something when she had an Ed D degree.
I don't know.
Sorry, I was looking for the clip and something auto-played. Dr. Laura, mm-hmm. Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Oh, her. I remember.
Thank
her.
You, Steve, in New York.
What happened to Dr. Laura? She was big when Oprah was big. She was big for a while. Yeah.
Okay, there's the clip I want. You may remember this. This may be one of the most famous clips ever from that show. No, not Delilah, Emilio. I've heard Delilah. She's just sappy. Now, this is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. So there's some sort of reception taking place in the White House. The president walks in, and this transpires.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. I wish I could spend more than a few minutes with you, but the polls don't close in the East for another hour. There are plenty of election results still left to falsify. You know, with so many people participating in the political and social debate through call-in shows, it's a good idea to be reminded every once in a while. It's a good idea to be reminded of the awesome impact. I'm sorry, you're Dr. Jenna Jacobs, right?
Yes, sir.
It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
The awesome impact of the airwaves and how that translates into the furthering of our national discussions, but obviously also how it can... Forgive me, Dr. Jacobs. Are you an MD?
A PhD.
A PhD?
Yes, sir.
In psychology?
No, sir.
Theology?
No.
Social work?
I have a PhD in English literature.
I'm asking because on your show, people call in for advice, and you go by the name Dr. Jacobs on your show, and I didn't know if maybe your listeners were confused by that and assumed you had advanced training in psychology, theology, or healthcare.
I don't believe they are confused, no, sir.
Good. I like your show. I like how you call homosexuality an abomination.
I don't say homosexuality is an abomination, Mr. President. The Bible does.
Yes, it does. Leviticus.
18:22.
Chapter and verse. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions while I had you here. I'm interested in selling my youngest daughter into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. She's a Georgetown sophomore, speaks fluent Italian, always cleared the table when it was her turn. What would a good price for her be? While thinking about that, can I ask another? My chief of staff, Leo McGarry, insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly says he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself, or is it okay to call the police? Here's one that's really important, because we've got a lot of sports fans in this town. Touching the skin of a dead pig makes one unclean. Leviticus 11:7. If they promise to wear gloves, can the Washington Redskins still play football? Can Notre Dame? Can West Point? Does the whole town really have to be together to stone my brother John for planting different crops side by side? Can I burn my mother in a small family gathering for wearing garments made from two different threads? Think about those questions, would you? One last thing. While you may be mistaking this for your monthly meeting of the ignorant tight-ass club, in this building when the president stands, nobody sits. Toby.
Yes, Mr. President.
That's how I beat him.
God, I love that scene. I just do.
That was rude. No, what was that? That was that talk? I mean, news radio?
No, that was the West Wing.
I missed it when you prefaced it.
Martin Sheen is the president, and I would dearly love, I honest to God, Todd, I would dearly love to see somebody, you know, some reporter actually pull up those quotes and stand there and say, Mulla Mike, Mr. Speaker, you've said that your worldview comes from the Bible, and then ask him those questions.
That's amazing. I can't believe you had that queued up. That's exactly what I was pointing toward. You already had it. I mean, you've got a crack intern team over there. They anticipate.
Well, you know, when you leave this program after your internship, you can go pretty much anywhere. McDonald's, Burger King, Starbucks,
Aramark.
Aramark. Oh my God! Yes, of course. You can drive the Entman's delivery truck.
Hey, we'll start. That ain't too bad. Stop it. Oh boy, you're so fun. But yeah, you know, it's a shame. These people, do they think before they say things? It's like, really, you really want to go there? Because all I got to do is open this book up and take you to task. Is this what? I don't know. We're in a different place.
Mulla Mike, The Bible says, and Lot was a righteous man. But he impregnated his two daughters. Are you pro-incest there, Mullah Mike? Are you?
See, Robin.
And just drill him. Drill him relentlessly.
Relentlessly. I mean, it never ends. You know, like there's a lot of, like, what they call dance, not dance hall reggae, but traditional reggae, rub-a-dub, conscious reggae. A lot of it's just drawn straight from the Bible. They don't have to write anything. It's just straight Bible verses. Because there's so much. There's so much material. There's so much material. Yeah. So they're gonna have if people choose to take them to task with that. But you know, I don't know. This guy's a little bit. I think people are finding out that he's not up to the task, and they didn't change that rule, right? So he can be out, just like his former person, McCarthy. You know, is that correct? One vote, he's out.
Yes, and they're still dealing with it. They don't know what to make of it. Although the hateful eight, the pirates, the mutineers, have said that they might be amenable to changing it from just one. But the other end of that is, okay, how about 125? No. And this would probably be a good time to remind everyone that this is, in fact, the sixth day of November 2023, and the government shuts down on November the 17th.
You read my mind.
And they are no... They're no closer to having a continuing resolution than they were on the day of the mutiny.
Look, just like the nation state of Israel wanted to finish mowing the lawn, as they say, and just be done with their problem, with their pogrom. You know, these Republicans, they wanted to shut the government down. That's their task right now, and they will succeed because. It's already there. They're already here. They don't have to do a thing. They got everything in motion. The train is already going down the track. We can't stop it. You know?
Yeah, Ralph's asked, can just anyone call for Mullah Mike to be kicked out for the speaker? Yes, one vote, one person, just one person.
One person. And they want to keep it that way, so if anybody gets out of line, you're out. I mean, this is some serious. I'm telling you.
Well, see, right after Mullah Mike was elected, you know, they had that thing where he stepped back, you know, out of the room, and some others, some Republicans and a few Democrats went with him to walk him back in. Well, that's when the maggots took him back there, and it put his testicles in an old mayonnaise jar. And stuck him in Matt Gaetz's refrigerator. So he's on thin ice. Any Republican speaker under that rule is on thin ice.
Yep. And look, there's no time left. The working days. The working days. You just said it a minute ago because it's about the working days, not calendar days, but working days.
Right. So that's maybe half a day today. I don't know, but tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, so that's the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and they could be kept over on the weekend, but I get my screen time, I watch my news and everything, I check in on various outlets. It was all nitwit Nero goes to court today, and all weekend long, it was Gaza, 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 and I'm not discounting right. That horror. For it is. And it's like government staying open. Anybody paying attention? Because the goal, I'm not backing off of this. The goal is, was, and always has been to shut the government down.
Exactly.
And I think I would have seen it if they had quietly gone about the business of passing a CR. But they haven't. Instead, Mike is playing these stupid games where he'll give $14 billion worth of bombs and guns and missiles and bullets and tanks and rockets and planes and helicopters and shit to Israel, but only if it comes out of the budget, the budget increase for the IRS.
Oh, IRS. I'm glad you're two things.
Well, I did want to IRS. Confirm for you, yes, both Balmer Bob and Ralphs confirmed that, I'm sorry, Lou. No. Who was it? It was Darlene. Darlene said, yes, Smith and the DOJ do not want cameras in the courtroom, probably to stay consistent with following current laws, so Todd's correct. Trump originally said yes, but now they're real quiet and filed nothing in response. I feel like the American people have a right to see this trial.
That's what I'm talking about. This is different. This is different.
Oh, and by the way, working days. Steve just looked up the House calendar. There are 5 working days.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, you see? Oh, fuck this.
I don't know how we would do it, but I want some props. I want some recognition if this shutdown happens, and I'm not rooting for it to happen. I would like to be wrong. But if they shut it down, somebody get me a new purple robe with appliqued moons and stars and Will Thee Kiss Me in the Dark Baby written across the front of it. Because I was right.
You, of course you were. I mean, this, right. All right. So, this is, I mean, all right. I'm going to lay some bets down, right? The only way it's not going to shut down is that they're going to force us to take some shit that we don't want to swallow. And they're going to hold us hostage over a bitter, bitter pill. And then we're going to have to make, the same people are going to have to make a decision. You know, because there's a whole cadre of Americans who don't understand that our military right now I'm only saying this, obviously I'm not in the military, but I have people in my family very high. And I didn't even know how rigid this shit was until, you know, they married into the family. And, you know, like you hear people say, well, I missed my promotion. What they're saying is that you got to go. If you miss your promotion, you got to do something else. You're going to go sell some washing machines somewhere. You know, whatever. You got to go. It's not like the regular world. It's very disruptive. You know, it's a very, the military is very regimented. They have rules, and they can't just change the rules because Congress can't get their shit together. And who benefits from that? Russia, Iran, China, Brazil, you know, BRICS. I don't understand how people are not seeing this by now. And I really believe this is all, a lot of this is a fallout from Citizens United, because now it's hard to follow the money.
Yeah. I mean,
you got me off.
No, it's okay. You're tangent man.
Right.
Going back to Dr. Laura just for a minute. I think it was Emilio who said, didn't she tank her career? Emilio said, didn't she kill her radio career when she repeated the ginger word several times on air? She kind of did, but she's still rich as Croesus, but on August the 10th, 2010, 13 years ago, a black woman married to a white man called in and asked because, you know, she wanted advice from Dr. Laura. And instead, Dr. Laura went off on her and used that word 11 times.
What?
Yeah. She said, you know,
why'd you marry that nigger in the first place?
You didn't have to do that.
I'm just trying to illustrate.
Yeah. 11 times. And she said, well, and this is, of course, a white lady talking about that word. Well, it depends on how it's said. Black guys talking to each other seem to think it's okay. And then she said, if you're that hypersensitive about color and don't have a sense of humor, don't marry out of your race.
Oh, God. No, she did that. Now, wait a minute. That's disqualifying. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, good. No wonder I don't hear about her anymore. She's... Doctor. Okay. She had people duped, man.
So then, in August 2010, she ran away. She said, I've made the decision not to do radio anymore. I want to regain my First Amendment rights. I want to be able to say what's on my mind. And then a year later, she was on Sirius XM. And she's still on the air. It's just that you actually have to pay money if you're dumb enough to want to hear her.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, Jack Smith doesn't want cameras, and I don't agree with him.
I was hoping I was making a mistake, but okay. That's not good.
But that question is going to be moot in Georgia.
You got that right. That's my hype, man.
Yeah, okay.
You got that right.
Yeah, that right. Yeah. Yeah, y'all.
That's right. No, I was joking around.
Yeah, that's what I need. I need a hype girl in here. That's what I need.
See, I don't have to explain. Obviously, you're in the business, and she was trying to tell me, like, because we want to do this show. She's like, sometimes you can be the hype man, and I was like, that's right, that's right. She's like, that's it. I was like, that's right. Anyway, you had to be there.
I get it.
So, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that. No, it would be kind of fun to be a reporter in that courtroom in Manhattan, I got to confess. Because even as he took the stand today, I mean, you know, we keep using the Captain Queeg reference because it's so goddamned accurate.
Isn't that sad? Isn't that fucking sad? That's accurate. That's the sad part.
Let's see. Let's find that clip, too.
I can't wait. I'm going to stay up watching this shit tonight.
Yeah, see, it pops right up there. Captain Queeg, strawberries.
It popped right up.
Yeah, the Caine Mutiny, 1954. He was 10 years old, or thereabouts. Okay, let's see. We've got the clip here. And if you haven't watched the Caine Mutiny before, or if you've never watched it, I can't recommend it highly enough. It's brilliant filmmaking.
Hey, Captain, did you ever turn your ship upside down in a vain search for a key that did not exist?
I don't know what lies have been sworn to in this court, but I'd like to set you straight on this matter right here and now. A key definitely did exist.
May it please the court, the witness is understandably agitated by this ordeal, and I request a recess to give him a brief
space. I don't want a recess. I'll answer all questions right here and now.
Did you conduct such a search?
Yes, I did. As usual, my disloyal officers failed me, and the key couldn't be found.
As a matter of actual fact, wasn't this whole fuss over a quart of strawberries?
Pilfering of food in large amounts or small is one of the most serious occurrences on board ship.
Yes, but didn't you learn the mess boys had eaten the strawberries and that you were conducting a search for an imaginary key?
I repeat, the key was not imaginary. And I don't know anything about mess boys eating strawberries.
Captain, have you no recollection of a conversation with an Ensign Harding just prior to his leaving the Cane?
What about it?
Well, didn't Ensign Harding tell you that the mess boys ate the strawberries?
All that I remember is that he was very grateful for his transfer. His wife was ill in the States.
Captain, do you know where Ensign Harding is now?
Well, I have no way of knowing.
Ensign Harding is in San Diego. His wife has fully recovered. He has already been summoned and can be flown up here in 3 hours, if necessary. Would it serve any useful purpose to have him testify?
No.
Here come the steel balls.
I don't see any need of that. Now that I recall, he might have said something about mess boys, and then again he might not. I questioned so many men, and Harding was not the most reliable officer.
I'm afraid the defense has no other recourse than to produce Ensign Harding.
Now, there's no need for that. I know exactly what he'll tell you. Lies. He was no different from any other officer in the wardroom. They were all disloyal. I tried to run the ship properly with the book, but they fought me at every turn. If the crew wanted to walk around with their shirt tails hanging out, that's all right. Let them. Take the tow line. Defective equipment. No more, no less. But they encouraged the crew to go around scoffing at me and spreading wild rumors about steaming in circles and then old Yellowstain. I was to blame for Lieutenant Merrick's incompetence and poor seamanship. Lieutenant Merrick was the perfect officer, but not Captain Queeg. Ah, but the strawberries. That's where I had them. They laughed at me and made jokes. But I proved beyond the shadow of a doubt and with geometric logic that a duplicate key to the wardrobe icebox did exist. And I'd have produced that key if they hadn't pulled the Cane out of action. I know now they were only trying to protect some fellow officer.
Geometric logic.
Captain Queeg and his substandard seaman.
Naturally, I can only cover these things from memory. If I've left anything out, why, just ask me specific questions and I'll be glad to answer them one by one.
Yeah. Now, the reason I played that, Todd, is I just happen to have the story here. Again, we don't get any audio because, you know, no video, no audio in the courtroom. But he had barely taken the stand today, Newt Whitnero, when he lashed out, and as he is quoted, he went Captain Queeg. That clip we just played, that was the officers. The officers were disloyal. Well, he queegged, I think that's a new word. He queegged on the stand today.
You and every other day.
And again, he's speaking to an assistant attorney general for the state of New York. Okay? He doesn't even know, and I think this is important. It may set up some kind of a defense or an appeal. I don't know. He is disoriented as to time and place, Todd. He goes out there and says that he's running against Barack Obama. And it's not just a flub. It's a huge fuck up. He's lost.
Well, you can't help. But I got to stop you, Robin. You have to understand. Remember the look on his face when Obama made fun of him at that press.
Oh yeah, we went over that, and that's because he is obsessed with revenge. But when I say he's not oriented to time and place, you know, person, man, woman, camera, TV. He thinks it was an IQ test when it was a test that you give somebody that's slipping badly.
Right.
Well, he had no sooner taken the stand than he lashed out at, again, a deputy attorney general or an assistant attorney general, however they rank it. and he thinks he's being prosecuted. It's just a civil case. And I mentioned that earlier because I think it's important for us to comprehend that. It is a civil case. There's no jail time involved with this. There's just the humiliation of being forced to pay back money that he ripped off from the state of New York to begin with.
That's exactly what it is. It's about that the cloak is off. The facade is gone. He's laid bare for the fraudster that he is now. So everything else now melts down because it pulls the cloak off. You see.
But when Quig is telling you, oh, but he was the perfect officer, and it was all on Quig. Well, here it is. Quote,
you and every other Democrat district attorney were coming after me from 15 sides, all Democrats, all Trump haters, weaponization.
I mean, would it make it clear if I did it in my bad Bogart impression? You and every other Democrat district attorney were coming after me from all 15 sides, all Democrats, all Trump haters, weaponization, get Quig.
You can almost hear the sweat coming out of Trump's head.
The paranoia the spirochetes are absolutely shrieking inside his head.
This is going to be so fucking interesting. I don't even, he may not, you know what? They're going to have to say he's been hospitalized. I'm not going to rule that out. Now, Todd put that on the table. And, you know, maybe that's a good, he's not going to handle this shit well. He's not handling it well now. This is one motherfucking real day in court. He can't do it.
And he's got four more. He's got four more.
Good luck, baby.
He's got the Southern District of New York, and the hush money criminal case. He's got Washington D.C. and Jack Smith. He's got Florida and Jack Smith, and he's got Fannie Willis waiting on him in Georgia. And he has, and again, he doesn't have to be there every day for this civil trial. Generally speaking, he's going to have to be there every day for his criminal trial.
I don't really know if you understand that. I guess, of course he does, I guess, maybe. He can't help himself. He knows, but he cannot. Once again, he has no self-control. He's impulsive. They've already told him, you don't have to be here. Don't come. But you can't make him not come because it's his trial. And they're trying to tell him, rest, relax, because you're going to have to show up in Georgia and you will be on camera. So relax. Relax, go home, whatever, go get your dick sucked, whatever. You know, do what you need to do. Eat, go to fast food, eat whatever. But rest your ass up, because when you go to Georgia, this is the fucking World Series, bitch. You're going to be on camera.
And the Braves ain't going to fold on this one.
No. And they're coming for you. That woman is coming for him. She got him. I mean, she got him.
But the maggots don't believe it. Nope. He's somehow miraculously going to skate. Yeah, he got asked a question earlier today about the Deputy AG Kevin Wallace was drilling down on his statement of financial condition, at which point he pouted. He quigged again. He quigged all day long.
I'm sure the judge will rule against me because he always rules against me, but this is well beyond the statute of limitations.
At which point the judge said, you know, that's non-responsive. Answer the damn question. and Goron has gone so far as to tell his pettifoggers, control your client. Actually, he asked it as a question, Justice Ngoron did. He looked at Chris Kyes and said, can you control your client? This is not a political rally.
Well, can we?
At which point Kyes said, let the former and future chief executive of the United States respond. He called him the future president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Could be. Could be.
Yeah, I'm horrified by the thought.
Well, if you listen to C-SPAN, we're in trouble.
Were the unmedicated busy today?
Oh, were they busy? Let me. Well, you know we're having trouble with our pharmacies, so there's probably a little glitch in the supply chain for medication, and I guess folks are resorting to pop off vodka.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Generally referred to as plastic bottle booze.
That would be correct, I do believe. And yeah, so it's not looking good on that end. But you know, I'm just you know, Jehoshaphat has been disappointing me lately, though. Let me ask you. Well, we already talked about Johnson, and I don't want to get too personal, maybe about Jehoshaphat, but because I disagree with some of their mind. Let me say this. I disagree because I've heard Jehoshaphat say this a number of times, and they emphasized it this morning, and I really didn't like it. And in fact, it was they're in direct indirect dispute of what Pugnacious David had just said, which is what I maintain. You know, when you look at the situation, there are two sides. There are two sides. And when Jehoshaphat every morning says, well, we gave over the keys, they gave in whatever 16 or 2006 or whatever to Hamas. That's a quarter truth. And see, a lot of people don't follow news like we do, and it's very unfair. He should not make that statement because that really is not true. Politically, Hamas, yes, is in charge of Gaza. But Gaza can do nothing without Israel's hand.
Permission.
They get no electricity. Permission. Now, they're not even allowed to fucking fish. They're on the ocean. They're going to turn that place into an ocean resort. They're on the ocean. They can't even take a boat out there and fish because sometimes the Israelis will say, no, not today. Why? Because we said so. I'm not making this up. And I neglected to mention this, and I really want to come here, but go to this, but I think maybe people don't understand. It's not just Todd saying this. You see, Israel's all messed up politically like we are. Because Netanyahu only got there by hook and crook. Like, you remember what happened with McCarthy? It was worse. It was 10 times worse. They had, like, almost changed everything so he could be in charge. It was, I follow it. And so he really shouldn't have been there in the fucking first place. But the Likud party is a trash anyway. I mean, they're just the fucking right-wing crazy people. You know, they want it all their way or nothing. And it's a problem. But you see, back to this, Israel controls anything that makes life sustainable. Comes through Israel, right? The electricity, fresh water, medications, building supplies, anything, food. So when he says that, that's not really true. And it is true that the terrorist organization probably, and they do, siphon off stuff off the top. But you got to.
Well, sure, they're crooks.
They're crooks. And see, this is how we have to look. It's a huge concentration. And see, this is the thing now. I'm sick of this shit. You got to call it what it is. It's checking. Do you know what another report that some of those people who they released as when they released after the bombing, they were tagged on their ankles with numbers and they were told to walk home to Gaza. So we're checking a whole lot of boxes here. We got a concentration camp where everything is controlled, food, water, medicine, building supplies, anything to sustain
access
life.
To a digital access to the outside world.
Digital. Well, they don't want you to see. Exactly. They don't want you to see what they're doing.
And, you know, that sounds, and I'm just going to say it because I think we both know it. That sounds paranoid as hell to say, oh, they don't want you to see it because, you know, that's the kind of shit that the cue balls say.
But that's what they're doing.
But in this case, it's real. I mean, the weird shit that happened, like MSNBC taking all of its Arabic/Muslim hosts off the air for a while.
Gone.
I mean, what was that? I know you're an Eagles fan. So I saw a story earlier today that this wealthy former donor to Democratic candidates and causes, he's from South Jersey, a guy named Norcross, is threatening to sue the Eagles and the NFL. Did you see this one?
Mm-mm.
Well, this guy was a fixer, player in New Jersey state politics, hobnobbed with, you know, all and son, and so he... But he shows up and he's a bit his apparently he throws these legendary pregame tailgates at Eagles games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a luxury box, of course. And he hung a banner from his luxury box that was a combination of the Israeli flag and the American flag.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles have stadium rules that say you can't hang any banners that are offensive or inappropriate, or you know the kind of language,
right?
And so security showed up and said you can't have that. You know, they ban flags generally. You know,
that kind of stadium. Did you see the game? I mean, it's not even just about that. It's about the aesthetic. That's not what they want.
I mean, they got a flag, and everybody sings to it at the beginning of the game. Cool. You know, whatever.
Put it on. Right.
And sports teams in other countries are like, why do y'all do this? It's a game. But, you know, a lot of the rest of the world views the United States as not that dissimilar to Iran, you know, with our God bothering fixation, you know, instead of quietly going about the business of praying for peace and health and tranquility and love, and no, you know, we you know, a significant portion of this country shows up in the pews every Sunday praying to their bloodthirsty deity to smite somebody. But anyway, so they came and they told him to take it down. He was a prick about it. And then they said, okay, you got to go. I mean, this is Philly, okay? You got to go. And so there's video.
Like
of,
that.
There's video of him being escorted out of his luxury box at the stadium. And so now he's running around throwing a temper tantrum. I'll sue! I'll sue! My First Amendment rights have been violated. Oh, it's like,
How recent is this?
Yesterday.
Get out of here. Isn't that something?
Ain't that some shit? Game.
Wow. You know, yeah. I mean, people just want to have fun. I mean, you know, religion, I'm not preaching at all, but I'm just saying that I will never forget what my father said to me at one point. I was like, well, how come you're not coming to church with us? He's like, you know what? He said to me, religion causes so much problem. It's just so problematic. He said, I just don't have a stomach for it anymore. And I was like, okay. And I was an alkaline. You know, I'm up on the altar and everything. But now I think people maybe keep your religion to yourself. Like, don't make a big deal. Nobody gives a fuck who, you know, it's not anybody else's business. But then when you have a whole nation state based on a religion, that could be a problem. And especially when that religion maybe has tenets of supremacy attached to it, that could be a problem.
Well, and the further problem, Todd, is the fact that, you know, people like Mullah Mike and the evangelicals generally, you know, they want their freedom to worship as they see fit. And I agree that they should have it. But right. Not only that, they insist upon the right to try to compel the rest of us to share in their weird delusions.
Well, that's where you fucked up.
And they insist that it is somehow religious persecution to tell them to leave us the fuck alone.
Well, that's what they don't get. You see, they don't understand. There's some kind of prism, some kind of weird lens over their eyes. They don't even see how they operate. They swear that it's like, oh, it's just, we just want to do what we want to do. But if you don't do what they want, you're a problem. You're a problem. But I thought you just said I could do what I wanted to do. Yeah, that's what I said, but, you know, but you need to do this. But no, that's not what you said. Well, but you still need, why? Because I have guns and liquor and I'll shoot you. That's why. See, that's where we are now. Right. It's really sad. It's like, who said you could tell us what to do? Do what you want to do. That's the whole point of America. You know, keep your religion and you can be a Klansman all you want, but don't bring it to work. But you can be a Klansman, but don't get upset when people call you names and things. But it is America, and that's what makes it. And see, the beauty of America is that we had a capacity to be better. You know, we have amendments to our Constitution. You know, they're always talking about the Constitution. Well, you know, that's a mouthful. But going back to the Lincoln Financial Field. In fact, if you look at that, because I mean, the game yesterday, it was beautiful. Oh, that was one of the best football games ever, by the way. Eagles Cowboys yesterday. That game was back, and you didn't know who was going to win. It was just a great game. It was a great game. But it's Eagle, a newer, you
Eagle,
know,
Eagles come out on top.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, they did. And we know how to win. We know how to come from every which way, make it work. Oh, wait to see the replays. Oh my God, it's some of the best tackles of the week. Holy cow, are you kidding me? God, that was a good game. But to see, I can't, you like when you look at that stadium, it's made for TV. The angles you could see, and they put it up on the Jumbotron. Everybody can see, like, when the refs made bad calls, we're like, oh,
in conclusion.
Yep, we see it. And so a flag, you know, hanging on, I don't care how much money you have, you know, keep it to yourself. I mean, it doesn't even look appropriate, is my point. That would look tacky, no matter what flag it is. You know, it would just.
Yeah, and let's be clear. Stadium staff would have done the same thing if it was a Palestinian flag.
Well, yeah. When you look at this stadium, I'm saying, Citizens Bank Park, where the Phillies play, and right across the street, Lincoln Financial Field, they're real parks. Like, you know, it's South Philly, it's spread out. They had cleared out a bunch of land to make those places. It is beautiful. It's massive. Like when you drive by a 95 and you go in there, it's just nice.
I remember looking. I remember being southbound and looking off to the. It was like, wow, that's gorgeous.
It is. I mean,
and it should be because it probably cost the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania a pretty penny.
Oh yeah, they get tax breaks and all that,
right?
But well, that's the game. But yeah, so I don't know what he's complaining about. You know, it's just not appropriate. So wait a minute. I have excuse me. You know what is sad is that like people are complaining about the IRS, and I think they forgot that during the Trump administration they fired a bunch of IRS workers. So I'm not sure, the absorption, are we just getting back to where we were, or are we going to be ahead? I don't know.
Well, the thing is, the whole IRS freakout that the maggots had was, the money is not going to hire new IRS agents to go over every jot and tittle of a tax return.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, these are monies to bring in more staff, more support people. Maybe upgrade digital infrastructure and things like that. And of course, they hate it. By the way, I got a note from Reverbo, the human man, who said, and by the way, Reverbo really enjoys your calls. The beauty of the United States is that in order to tolerate just about everything, we also tolerate idiots. And there's truth in that, but the problem is, you run across Karl Popper's paradox. Namely, if a tolerant society also tolerates the intolerant will eventually overcome the tolerant.
Yeah.
And the tolerance will all go away. And that the only way to maintain civil society, according to Karl Popper, is to retain the right to be intolerant of intolerance. I mean, it kind of makes your head hurt. Oh, and by the way, Jude just shared something with us that I think is quite profound, and Jude is often quite profound. Rereading aspect of Fromm's writing, specifically The Anatomy of Human Destructiveness, I'd say it's a reality many of us must visit again. There was an affirmation and awakening that seemed to draw me, page 50, chapter on the instinctivists. Freud is brought in on the energy of resistance with the unconscious working at defending against the attempt to make it conscious, self-realization, etc. And Fromm writes, quote, "Its effect is one of increased energy because energy is freedom from the task of upholding repressions. Thus, the more man is in touch with his inner reality, the more he is awake and free." Jude says, "Finally found others on this page housing such an acute awareness of energy. Millions in the MAGA cult movement appear to have severe blockage occurring. History of something that has severely damaged them." And who knows what that is?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hum over.
No.
It was clicking. That makes sense. It's like, there's something how can that, their perception is blocked? Their perception is blocked. Something's going on.
Well, I think they're consumed by the diet of confirmation bias that he provides them, the license that he provides them to hate whomever they hate because he hates them too, and he's rich and he's smart. Remember, Donald Trump is what a dumb person thinks a smart person sounds like. And Jude adds, Todd's father's question on going to church. One of my uncles who lived in Vancouver, B.C., where my mother was born, answered the same question I posed him as an 11-year-old. On a Sunday morning, getting ready for Mass, I asked him as he sits at the kitchen table, Uncle Jack, how come you don't come with us to Mass? I go to the round church, he said. I asked, what? The round church. That way the devil can't get me into a corner. Great memory of my uncle. Thank you, Todd, for the connection. Thank you, Jude. That was sweet. And I hate to mention it, But, you know, we're at 925, trying to get caught up with. So that means that we are unfunded for today. For Friday, I was gone Wednesday and Thursday. We're unfunded for Tuesday and working on Monday. So that's, you know, that's well back into October. And I'm not kidding when I say there are bills that desperately need paid.
I believe that. You're out of town.
You know, either shit already off or being turned off. And I'm not proud to say that. I mean, I wish I could, you know. But it's an unpleasant fact of our survival. It's just how this goes. This is funny. Theo wrote in, Todd, and said, "Ah, but the strawberries." Hey, Robin. Hey, Theo. I found out from writer Joe Hyam's work that after the Kane Mutiny was released to acclaim, several friends of Bogey planted pairs of steel ball bearings in every nook and storage space on his beloved sailboat, the Santana, and it took an irate Bogey quite a while to hunt them all down. He became, one might say, almost obsessed, as obsessed as Captain Queeg. That's funny. That's very funny. Where are the damn ball bearings? They hid the ball bearings all over my boat.
You know what? I'm going to let you. I'm not going to say that. That's what people say when they're doing something. So I'm going to hang up soon. But what I want to say, because it's hard, you know, your program, man, this is really something. It's been an evolution, and you know, you should be proud of yourself, I would think.
Yeah, I stay pretty humble.
I'm sorry?
I said I stay pretty humble.
Well, people are listening. People, you know, certain people are listening, if you know what I mean. And it's a good thing. Because certain people need to know, you know, what, you know, regular folks are thinking and talking about. You know, so it's easy to get lost. You know what I mean? In your little milieu, you don't know what's going on. But so here's a little funny. Now, Judge Engeron, I'm thinking he's Turkish. I don't know, but that sounds like a Turkish name to me. I don't know why, but. Not that it matters, but you know what? At some point, one of these judges, you know, they're all of a certain age. They've watched movies. You know, they're not stupid. They're gonna say, "Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
You're out of your depth." I pray. I don't pray. I pray for that day. Just
That's for Scott. That's for Scott.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie. You're out of your depth. Yeah. You know, I'm glad. I don't mean to keep you on here too much longer, but we're nearing the end of the program, and there was a story that probably nobody else has heard about. Maybe some of you have. Mm. I know some of you have because you contacted me about it. This is the story, Todd, of somebody you and most people have never, ever even heard about. His name was F.L. Bubba Copeland. And he was the mayor of a teeny tiny town near Auburn in Lee County, Alabama. The name of the town is Smith's Station, and back in 2019, it damn near got blown off the map by a couple of F4 tornadoes. Bubba Copeland was the mayor at that time, and he busted his ass to bring that town back from splinters to actually being a town again with all the trauma that comes with something. And I've seen towns flattened by tornadoes, and it's horrible. He was also the pastor of the Phoenix City, and they misspelled it, of course, P-H-E-N-I-X, Phoenix City, Alabama Baptist Church. And he was a Republican. You'll notice the past tense. But F.L. Bubba Copeland had a deep, dark secret. He was a big guy, but he may not have been a guy at all. Because I happened to know, and I got sick at my heart Saturday morning when I woke up and saw this story. He may not have been a guy at all, because I interacted with him as a woman named Brittany on one of the Reddits for trans people.
Wow.
And every time she posted a picture, she was absolutely beaming with happiness, smiling, joyful. And she's dead now. She is dead because a right-wing website run by a guy who used to work for that that web outfit that rhymes with light and fart dug around on Bubba. Prefer to think of her as Brittany. Went digging around and then outed him. Confronted him about the fact that at the very least he was a cross-dresser. Perhaps with leanings
it
toward a drag queen.
It took all that energy to do that, for real.
Hold on. And probably was actually a transgender woman who couldn't bring herself to say it because, like I said, she was a Republican. And Alabama is just such a virulent, toxic, poisonous swamp of Christian love, i.e. hatred, that it did not matter the good works that they had done as mayor and as apparently a pretty non-judgmental preacher. He wasn't a Southern Baptist preacher. Instead, it was the Baptist Federation. They had signs, you know, like the little message signs that churches have. They'd had one out in the last years of the last decade that said simply, "All are welcome." And we know I don't go in for the religious stuff. But I do. I respect someone who lives their Christianity a hell of a lot more than I respect someone like Mullah Mike Johnson. And I'm sure Mullah Mike Johnson is just fine with Bubba Copeland being dead. Because what happened, Todd, is this 1819 news website, this right-wing cesspit, outed him. He gave them an interview and said, "Yeah, I've done it for years. My wife knows about it." They had three children together. Three adolescent kids. And he said, "My wife knows. It's just a little fun. It's something I've done for years to relieve stress." And you know what? I believe that wholeheartedly. Because walking around with a head full of gender dysphoria is really fucking stressful. And so 1819 News hounded him and outed him and wrote story after story after story about him or her. And eventually called for a wellness check on him. I think they swatted him is what they did. And so a sheriff's deputy followed him until F.L. Bubba Copeland, mayor of Smith Station, Alabama, stopped his car, got out of his car, reached in his pocket, pulled out a pistol, and blew his brains out in front of the sheriff's deputy.
What? Wait a minute. No, I mean, I was following you until I don't understand. You got to. I'm not understanding what you just said. No, I'm not. No, you go back to all right. Pursuing, please. Okay, law enforcement. Okay. No, I'm serious.
Mayor Copeland is being treated as a man in the press because, God forbid, Alabama should recognize the existence of a decent human being who also happened to be a transgender woman. She was a big girl. And at one point in time, she said, I've never been a handsome man, and I'm not going to be, and I'm not a good-looking woman, but I can be happy.
That could have been you.
It was me. When I finally came to terms with who I am, I figured I would just be an ugly old woman. But it beat the living hell out of the alternative, which was being dead. And so they published all these stories on him. And there are right-wing outfits running around saying, well, of course 1819 News did the right thing. He was a public figure. We had a right to know. But how many stories have I had in the last year, hell, the last month, about some creepy-ass youth pastor fucking children in a Baptist church that 1819 News never reported on? He didn't deserve to be outed. We've actually had this conversation on this air about outing people who are hypocritical about who they are. You know, who vote on introduced bills or vote in favor of legislation that harms the LGBTQ community. Those fuckers deserve it. And a lot of the times they'll hurt themselves. They'll out themselves. Like the pastor at the First Baptist Church of Montgomery, Alabama, a guy named Aldridge, who years ago, well, his wife went on vacation to see her folks in North Carolina. This guy was a big-time Southern Baptist preacher. He was bosom buddies with Jerry Falwell. And when the wife got home, she found her good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Southern Baptist pastor, Christian husband, trussed up like a goose, wearing two wetsuits, with a dildo in his ass and one in his mouth, and dead. The closet is a dangerous and deadly place. I lived in fear. This story really, really got to me. Matt in San Francisco's subject line, Bubba, oh, Roxanne, this story broke my heart when I read it. It did me, too. I cried. Because that could have been me, but it was him or her. I prefer to think of her as her because that's how I knew her. You know, I'd like her posts, her pictures, because there's nothing quite like seeing someone experience their authenticity and feel a little bit of joy in life, especially in a circumstance like that. It never affected her fantastic performance as the mayor, the Republican mayor of that small town. And that's another part of this, Todd. I feature stories on this program of Republicans getting caught in their hypocrisy and their criminality and their perversity. And we don't feel bad about it. And some people on our side jumped all over and said, wow, they deserved it, because there was a photograph of him talking to Donald Trump after those tornadoes had ripped through his town and Trump showed up for some free publicity.
Well,
he was a maggot. Fuck him. But again, there is no evidence to suggest that they were in any ways hypocritical about who they are or were. And that 1819 news outfit killed that poor soul. As sure as if they had held the gun and pulled the trigger that blew their brains out.
But they're snakes. Just like Trump said, he told the snake story on at least two or three occasions.
Oh, hundreds.
You knew I was a snake. These are the same people who cheered, like, let him die, let him die. Remember that? It was the Tea Party people, right? They talk about the Democrats are persecuting Trump. It's his own people. It's Republicans. It's people he trusted. That's why he cannot compose himself. They're snakes in a pit. They're like rats. Don't you remember when we were little, they always taught, like, okay, guinea pigs and mice and stuff, once they have babies, you got to take, the mother or father, one of them you have to take away because they'll eat them.
They'll eat them.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what we're dealing with. That's exactly what we're dealing with. We're dealing with projection on every level. To depravity. So, I mean, seriously, this is disturbing. All you said, all this stuff. Now, a lot of this, all these things we're talking about tonight, as a matter of fact, all relate to abuse. I can make a case for that, like I did some weeks ago, whatever, when I had something to say. Because the layperson doesn't understand. I mean, they hear it, but I know it sounds terrible when I say it like that, but. It's true that there's something to that phrase when they say, well, abuse doesn't stop just when the abuse stops. And it doesn't. And we all understand that, like, psychologically. But what the researchers now are finding out is that it gets into your DNA. I have no idea how that works. Don't ask me. But there's evidence. You see? And we're just dealing with a whole lot of bad behavior, sociopathy to the extent where it's just bleeding into the whole. Because we can all feel all this misery now in the ether, all this death. Everyone can feel it's so much death now in the ether. We can all feel it: death and destruction and depravity. Because, frankly, what you're talking about, with folks who are dealing with how they should be presented, how they present themselves, who they really are, that's a highly personal issue. Did people ever like step back and think, well, maybe they're serious? Who, like, otherwise, why would they go through all this? But see, these folks are so unreflective, they're not even that cognizant to even contemplate that. You see? And that's a problem. Am I making any sense here?
Yeah, it's just... I mean, I'm sorry, I'm sort of reduced to wordlessness. I'm crushed. Because, like I said... the mortal fear of having someone find out your horrid secret is enough to die over?
If you don't like it, don't deal with them. It's not that hard. That means that, that means they have a problem. Well, obviously they have a problem.
And apparently the paranoia is running rampant in Smith Station, Alabama now, and they're just sure that the liberals are going to attack us and burn our town down.
Oh, God. That sounds like the zombie shit. Oh, God. Please, come on.
And John in Central PA, subject line, Mayor Copeland. The beast behind Copeland's harassment and subsequent murder is a guy named Craig Monger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where he lives, though. I'll find out and let you know. Maybe someone can pay Craigie Boy a little visit.
Oh, that's Young Boy Guns. Wait a minute, Young Boy Guns.
And there's another guy named Jeff Poor, P-O-O-R. They're both with that filthy right wing outfit. You know, you got your scoop, boys. Are you happy? You killed a man or a woman.
I mean, what you said is like a movie. It sounds like one of those B movies from the 70s. You know what I mean? Like the Klansman or some shit like that. It was like, I'm going to take the law in my own hands.
But there was no law to take. There was no law broken.
Never mind.
You know, Cynthia just sent a note and said, I saw that story too. And I wish I could have run interference for her and talked her into living instead. If only. If she had reached out on that one particular subreddit, I think every girl in there would have stood up for her and said, "Honey, we'll kick him, we'll trip him, and then kick him." And this last I checked that filthy website, there's still no reference to the aftermath of their outing. And they will, of course, hide behind the First Amendment. We had a right to push that person to suicide. And like I said, she's a she to me because that's how I knew her.
Right.
And it's just so horrible. Who is Craig Monger? Thank you, Ralphs.
He's a monger.
Well, he's an animal. He's one, you know, and it reminds me of a poem that Jude sent along a while back. The title of it is, "There are men too gentle to live among wolves." There are men too gentle to live among wolves who toss them like a lost and wounded dove. Such gentle men are lonely in a merchant's world unless they have a gentle one to love. And she may not have been a man at all. But this is what happens when you have a frenzy of ignorant bigots howling for blood. I'm sure that little Benny Drywife Shapiro did a little dance of joy, and the giggling still probably hasn't died down for Matt Dysphoria Beard Walsh, who has said he would kill one of his children if they came out trans or gay. It's horrid. And nothing will happen. Nothing will happen to Craig Monger or Jeff Poor. No consequences. Richly does. Yeah, she went by Brittany Blair Summerlin. And apparently, not that this is a determinant, but her wife knew.
Well, that's what got me.
The clothes she posed for photos in were her wife's clothes.
Yeah.
They had a happy marriage.
If his wife is cool with it, it's not your business anyway. But, I mean, my goodness. But.
And the fact that he was graceful enough and honest enough, as in his male persona, to give those fuckers an interview and say, "Yeah, that's me. I've done it since I was a teenager." That's a sign.
That's a shame.
That's a sign. And she could have come out. She could have lived happily. She wouldn't have had a political career. That probably would have thrown her out of her pulpit. But if she was a good preacher, there would have been a church with a door open for her. And she might have gone. And from what I can tell, you know, she was one of those people who preaches that Matthew 25 stuff. Heal the sick, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, house the homeless, visit the people in cages. And you know, I wish this had some sort of an ending like a Twain story, like the man who corrupted Hadleyburg, where the town went from having the town motto of "Lead us not into temptation," but rather changed the motto afterward to "Lead us into temptation." And I hope and I frankly hope that everyone who had a shitty word to say, it's too much to hope that they would be shunned in their Alabama community, because that is Alabama. That is the maggot South. That's any maggot state. And oh my God, Joan, thank you so much. Joan just jumped in, and lo and behold, we've now knocked down an entire day of broadcasting from last. We're clear for last Monday. Thank you, Joan. Joan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joan. See,
you're amazing. Okay. And TJ. TJ jumped in from Des Moines and said, because going back to what you said about shut the fuck up, Donnie. Okay, I want to do a shut the fuck up, Donnie challenge. $50. I'll match it. And so we can get started on Tuesday.
Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
But I didn't want this program to end without telling her story.
That's crazy.
Because it's like the end of Death of a Salesman. When the woman closes it, Willie Loman's wife, saying, "Attention must be paid." I mean, that is a tragedy. I mean, this is awful. Cynthia says, "I'm sure the outing bastards think they sealed their place in heaven right next to Jesus with their bigotry." And yes, I had... Cynthia, I know. Cynthia says, "I had more than my fair share of fear over being outed before I was ready. I probably would have blown my brains out, too. Now, of course, I'd rather scream in the faces of the bigoted bastards. They mean less to me than the pond scum. Assholes." Yeah. But there probably won't be any sort of consequences for Chris Monger or Jeff Poor.
No, we're moving fascist quick. We're moving in a fascist direction. And I mean, unless you live, I guess, you know, it's, I don't know what to say. Except, if you're different, you better watch your back, because, they're coming for every... I mean, it's just, you know, just ridiculous. And you mentioned something about Phoenix. Now, I wanted to ask you, because, you know a little bit about Alabama. Phoenix City, it seems like I read where that was like a den of vice and all kinds of crazy shit.
Might have been at one point. Right now, what it is it's the heart of the Lake District down in southeast Alabama, and there are multimillionaires buying multi-gajillionaire second or third homes, and it's beautiful. And Phoenix City is, and Dothan are all down in that general, and of course Auburn. But yeah, they misspelled it. They misspelled it. Phoenix. No O. Phoenix.
Yeah, but was it like a gambling den back in the day? Like, it was a lot of vice?
I don't know. I mean, in a certain time period in the South, you couldn't turn over a rock without hitting a member of the Dixie Mafia.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I mean, you remember the thugs and criminals in Walking Tall?
Yeah.
Joe Don Baker, all that. I mean, that was the Southern Mafia. And they were some mean sons of bitches.
All right.
Human trafficking, yeah. Prostitution, drugs, illicit booze, you know.
The works. I think they're still around. Yeah, it's still around. It's all different, but it's still around.
But I don't know. There's a movie on TCM called Phoenix City.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Turner, man. Yep. And but you know, I just hate. I just don't understand it. It's like, okay, you don't like how someone else is living or how, you know, what they're doing. Just so don't bother with them. It's not that hard. Yeah.
It was her smile that got to me. She was happy.
Well, you know what? The contributions are on their way. I can feel it.
Joan just did a magnificent thing. She got us down to goodness, 675.
Oh,
so that's, you know, that's huge.
That is.
And TJ's challenge is there, and that would get us down to 575. And that would mean we were cleared with cleared of the backlog from October. Well, all of this just kind of preyed on me because Todd, 9 days from now will be the Trans Day of Remembrance.
Oh, no.
And
really,
you know, last year, the list was put together, and before we could even get to the day, the Club Q massacre happened, and we had to add more names. And here it is a year later, and we've got another name to add to the list. You know, because one of the rules, and like I said, she identified as a transgender woman on Reddit. And if somebody tells you, and you know, the rule is, you know, even if it's fucking Caitlyn Jenner or Blair White or any of the other horrid pick-me girls, if they say they're trans, they're trans.
Mm.
And you don't question it. And so,
you know what I'm noticing? And so she, I don't know about anybody.
Her name had better by God be on the list. And we need some damn well need some righteous fury to go with it all.
I'm seeing some tension, Robin, because you know more people like you are more vocal and like, no, we're not having this bullshit anymore. You know, you can't, you know, persecute us. Then there's more persecution. But then on the other end, like even here in Deep South, I'm seeing people that are, you know, to me, are obviously coming out. Maybe to some of these other people that don't see it, but I can see, you know, because I know what to look for. And I'm happy for them, you know, because life is short. You gotta be who my God, life is so short.
Yeah. And I wish she would have given people the opportunity to run interference for her, just like Cynthia said.
Hmm. It's sad, isn't it? I mean it's unnecessary.
It broke me. It was murder.
When you said when you got to the point where you pulled out, I was like, "Damn, really? Like, damn? How? I can't. It's hard for me to get beyond that. That's some crazy shit. That, like, once again, that's some crazy. That's like a movie. That's some crazy shit.
It's awful.
But, it's they're awful. Nazis. We have a Nazi problem. They're Nazis. It's like it's their way or the highway." Period. Authoritarian Nazi people. And I hope they're, you know, they're at their apex, at their zenith, and then, you know, that's what I hope. Because it's too much, man. We got enough to deal with. We don't want to, this is just made up. This is just bullshit, man. Let people live, man. What the fuck? You can't change what people are. That's so stupid. Why would you think you could change who someone else is? That alone, that shows me you know how fucking people work. You know, Well, we have a lot of work to do, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. And in Pennsylvania and in Kentucky and in Ohio and in Virginia and in Mississippi tomorrow, decent people have a lot of work to do. Virginians will decide whether or not they want Virginia women to remain full citizens of the Commonwealth. Because if the Virginia House goes entirely Republican and the Virginia Senate goes Republican, Glenn Youngkin will turn into a less obnoxious monkey up DeKlantis. And, and they will eliminate, and the Republicans will eliminate legal weed in Virginia because, you know, the devil's tobacco.
Oh, shit.
And in Ohio, voters will also decide there whether women will have full citizenship. And enshrine the right to reproductive care in the Ohio Constitution. In Virginia, another outing, we talked about it some weeks ago. The Democratic woman running for a House seat in Northern Virginia, who was revenge porned by Republicans because she and her husband, of their own free will, once did a thing where they went on some website and had sex for the benefit of viewers. There is no bottom with these people. They will drive people to suicide. They will drive people to despair.
You know, people,
they will destroy lives for nothing more than political power to wield as a cudgel against other human beings. I was wrong. It's not 9 days from now. Thanks for catching that, Randy. Trans Day of Visibility is 14 days from now, 2 weeks.
Well, you couldn't see it because it was invisible.
Todd, it's been a great conversation, my friend. Thanks for putting up with me this last few minutes.
Putting up with you? Listen, you do a great job. You know, you work hard, and everyone appreciates, you know, what you give. And sure, and I'm out, and I hope you have a great evening, and try not to despair.
No, I'm not. It's just so damn sad. So
I couldn't believe it hit me. I was like, that could be you. It took a half a second. So it's fucked up.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with people? I don't know.
Sucks.
Right.
It really, really
does. We'll be in touch.
All right, Todd, you take care of yourself. You hear?
All right, you too.
Later. Our buddy Todd down in South Carolina. Thank you, Emilio. We are now down to 671 to go and $46 to go on TJ's Shut the Fuck Up Donnie challenge. Thank you, TJ. And with the last word, Steve in New York says, this shit just gets worse. I'm 1,000% on your side about we need to be running interference for those who can't come out. But Robin, you know what? Perhaps it's just me with the massive changes in my life I'm undertaking, but the world just seems to be an endless stream right now of not just bad, but horrid. I confess, and I apologize about this, I'm sometimes just tired with a very heavy heart right now. Please tell me that this world's awful shit is not as bad right now as it seems. It's very, very bad in far too many places. There are unreported horrors taking place in places that we don't much care about, so it runs unreported. But it remains true, Steve, that the only way for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. And even mentioning Brittany Summerlin I mean, it's not much, this little radio show. But a few more people know about what was done to her than maybe before this program aired. And attention must be paid. And her name must be said. Brittany Summerlin, whose wife is now a widow, whose sons are now fatherless, because some little right-wing shitbirds, some little maggots, were hungry for clicks. Damn them. Damn them all to hell. It's one of those moments when you wish there was one. Because you'd want to get on the blower and throw another lump of brimstone on the fire, Lucy. Because Chris Monger and Jeff Poor will be coming to visit someday. And in those moments, and this betrays a character flaw on my part. But in those moments, I think about that Chris Monger and his associates at 1819. I think someday something horrible is going to happen to you. No one goes through this life unscathed. And in that moment, when that horror occurs, I hope Chris Monger remembers Brittany Summerlin. And the agony that he caused in the name of clicks. And I hope he prays to an uncaring sky for death and fears for what will come after. What terrible, 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 terrible people there are in this world. And the people who most often pay the price are the ones who aren't terrible. Thanks for giving me a little space to share that last story. Sincerely. And thanks, everybody. Thanks for being part of all of this. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much, all of you. Thanks so much, Joan. It's great to hear from you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, push that like button. Subscribe. Leave a comment. It helps. Really does. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster, get your flu shot, get your RSV vaccine. Mask up if you're going to be around strangers or maggots. And if you are in Pennsylvania or Ohio or Kentucky or Mississippi, for the love of whatever is sacred to you, go and vote tomorrow if you haven't already. Use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance. And if anybody from 1819 News comes toward you, tell them what you think of them. And then avoid them like the plague. Because they are. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Love you, Wayne. Lighter.